salvation is near.
Send good morning. Welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a subject that, well, we've talked about last couple of weeks in different circles, and talking about end time events, if you will. This is one of them, before the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll try to get into other sequences of things during the end times, if you will. And no matter even what we will look at, that how we read they, how they may unfold, may not be exactly according to what we view or we say is going to happen. In the way God's plan will work may fit the letter of the word, but not according to our human thinking. There has to be little things that take place in order to make an event. Okay? Now, we have our conference each year on approximately the week of April the 6th because of the restoration of the church through God Himself. Not, you know, He is used man, but through God Himself establishing His church according to history, time, prophecy, or Revelation, okay, to 1830, and to be the fullness of the gospel. We have the Book of Mormon, and the two of them would be to the laying down of contention and false doctrine, okay, into the two of them, to bring the fullness of the gospel, okay, to the earth, to meet the prophecy of Jesus Christ, where He says that the gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness. And there, when you say that short prophecy, there it begs questions. Okay, what's going to be taught? Who's going to teach it? And so on. And how much is going to be taught? Well, it has to be all of it. It has to be according to His benchmark. It has to be His called servants according to His direction and His truth. Now, that being said, in about the year 1830. Once again, we have the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming forth, but the opposing team, you might say, the opposing team that doesn't want the purity of the gospel to come out is also orchestrating things to persuade people there is no Christ, to persuade people that there is no God, to persuade people that you can't rely upon the Scriptures. Now, why would I say that? Because there's three different things that we're going to take a look at, but just as a brief, but not the subject I'm going to present today, and we'll be getting into some scriptures. Okay, if we take a look in about the year 1830s, okay, there was a young man that was sailing about the world, especially in the Galapagos Islands, on a ship called the Beagle. Can anybody tell that young man's name? Just by those couple facts. Darwin, absolutely. He was developing his notes upon the origin of species, which was published in about 1850. But in the 1830s, he was developing his notes. Why in the 1830s? We're just, once again, thinking about the restoration of the purity of the gospel of salvation, and the Church of Christ was restored to the earth once again. So once again, the opposing team is showing up, trying to lay groundwork, teaching there is no God. Where has it gone to? It's gone to our schools, talking about not being able to teach things there as well. We also find in the 1850s at Cambridge University. There's two men by the name of Westcott. The other one was Westcott, and the other one was Hort. Okay, they were developing manuscripts. They were developing manuscripts taking into account false histories, false and corrupted manuscripts, in order to develop a version of the Bible that their own professors said, we hope this never gets out of here and out to the public. And so what did they do? They left there with their manuscripts. These manuscripts were then put together in order to publish as a version of the Bible. And from those corrupted manuscripts, the other versions of the scriptures today exist, apart from the King James, that say some very dastardly things, usually debasing God, emasculating God, taking away the tenets of the gospel, okay? Jesus and Lucifer changing places, things like that. And this is on the tip of the iceberg. In when? In and about the 1830s. Those facts, you can easily find these on the web. Also, once again, in the 1830s, when the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored to the earth. What? For the happiness of mankind, for the salvation of mankind, for the direction of God's work in the last days. The opposing team showed up. He doesn't like it when God, he will try to oppose God in all things. Okay, what we're going to talk about today is going to be another one as well. Okay? And I'm going to, just a moment here. Oh, here we go. From current slide. There we go. We're going to do that. And I didn't turn the view around, did I? Okay. We got carried away a little bit on our stump here. So I didn't get that turned on. What we were going to be looking at, as you'll be seeing shortly, is the subject of the rapture. Okay? And it is it's an end time event. The term of the rapture we don't even find in the scriptures, okay? And a modern day invention, modern day theory, it was not taught by the original ministry of the church. Paul, Peter, as we will see in the scriptures, these are the people that were penning them down. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But the theory of the rapture, we find it gains traction. Well, let's go on with some of these thoughts, and we're going to go right into the scriptures. I want you to make sure that you have your Bible and your Book of Mormon handy, because we're going to be turning to many of them. A couple of them I've laid out, but we're going to be turning to many of them. This is going to be more of a study, but I may make some comment. There's a carefully crafted ideology that has crept into Christian beliefs. This concept is called the rapture. It's a secret catching away of the believers, of whom the Lord chooses. Now, being caught away is true, as we will read in the scriptures. But we have to look at what did the Lord tell us for a time frame, okay? And because it has very catastrophic effect if we believe what the modern theory is purporting. Of whom the Lord chooses, it prejudges to salvation. And you're going to see why I'm making that assertion. It's disappearing before the tribulation period and before the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds. In a nutshell, it's about what it teaches, and it has to prejudge to salvation because it is of the believers that are disappearing, okay? And that is what's being purported. They're basically disappearing, and if you will talk to those that do seem to believe it, they're wondering why they haven't disappeared already, because of things that are coming upon the earth, because little by little we're heading into a tribulatory period. We may have a catastrophic events, Israel being attacked or whatever, that we may look at that we think will herald a tribulation. But little by little, you have to have a sequence going on into that time of tribulation. It's not going to just be, once again, everybody's going to turn evil like that or whatever. Not that there won't be events such as the Book of Revelations, hail falling from heaven, you know, and other things that we may study out and look at. But it's just kind of like the frog in the pot of water. All right, he gets in the pot, and if he didn't know it was hot, he'd struggle to get out. But if he sits in the pot when it's cool and you turn up the heat slowly, he'll sit there. because he gets slowly acclimated to it. Where are we today in our society with things slowly, you know, there's ridiculous things we thought never would come to pass. We could go around this room and everybody could tell me something different, I'm sure. But the rapture. Now, we're going to go into, there are movies that have been made to glorify and popularize this idea. Even the one called the Left Behind series. I think it is this Tim LaHaye, I think, is one of the authors of it and so on. And they will weave, it's listed under Christian fiction, but people will quote from that movie. Okay. The old proverb, if you repeat something long enough, presenting it in many ways, no matter the subject, people begin to believe it. And that's true. And you've heard this before. Okay? And it's true. Can anybody tell me who may have originated that? I'm sure it's been spoken before.
There's a lady,
isn't it? No. The proverb, if you repeat something long enough, presenting it in many ways, no matter the subject, people will begin to believe it. Adolf Hitler. Because he was propagating the master race idea and so on. Do you remember that in that movie? It was on the formulation of the, liberalism today, progressivism, Democratic Party, actually. It was a lot to what they were forming the foundation of it. Regardless, I won't go there. Such is the subject of the rapture. One needs to misrepresent the scriptures and do some basket weaving in order to arrive at the conclusion. Okay, and there are various select ones that they may use that he says in Revelations, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Very vague. But if we look at what the scriptures do declare, and you lay them out, and you're thinking, where in the world could you get it? And we're going to go there. And so anyway, we don't want to spend much time upon this false concept of the end times. Yet we look at what the scriptures declare so we can be on solid ground. That's what we want to know, okay? And you might say that what the scriptures teach and what the Church of Christ believes and purports really is foundationally restoration because of where they want to go with this today. There are many of our beliefs are really restoration. It's what's in the scriptures, but it's restoring what the Lord had already taught and put forth. And so anyway, there's a history or what has appeared to be where the idea originated from. Okay, and as a matter of fact, there's a pamphlet that her church puts out called The Rapture. I have a few of them in my case if you wish to have one. It will talk about them hiding the Antichrist. It's another involved study, but true. But we're going to talk about that catching away theory, all right? In 1830, magical year again, once again. By a 15-year-old girl named Margaret MacDonald in Port Glasgow, Scotland, Edwin Irving's congregation. She shared with him her vision of a secret rapture of the church. She claimed to be a prophetess. It is noted here that she was diagnosed as epileptic, often having seizures. And I've read the cases of her episodes. She would actually, having a seizure, she would divulge more of this, okay, this theory, and more of this that's called dispensationalism. In 1861, the Apostolic Catholic Church published one of MacDonald's visions titled Restoration of Apostles and Prophets. That's a big dispensationalism. And so, but anyway, the catching away of the believers. You can Google this and find this just as easily. But I've taught this for many years. I've taught this in Nigeria. I taught it over in India. I've probably taught it here before too. But basically, it's the Lord's scriptures. We're just bringing them out. Remember, the belief is that the righteous go first. Keep that in mind. You know, before a tribulation, before things get really hairy out there, before hail, before the lightning in their tails, all of that thing, you know, the false prophet, the beast, whatever. The righteous go first. That's what they're saying. In 1 Timothy 4:1, we see the scripture, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And that's what this young person evidently was having, a seducing spirit, you know, to develop a doctrine of devil. And now in my conclusions, you're going to see where even some of the, where this can take you. Where is the danger in believing in it? I guess the best word. In Matthew 25, 1 and 2 and 6, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish." We know that parable, don't we? And verse 6, it says, "To the midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Okay, what can we learn from this? This is right out of the scriptures, isn't it? 10 virgins, purity. They were denoting purity, weren't they? Talks of the example, 5 wise, 5 foolish. But they were all denoting purity. You were talking about Christians. And which took their lamps and went forth to what? To meet the bridegroom. To go to meet the bridegroom means what? He's coming, right? He's coming. They went out to meet him. But the parable was, you know, we're looking at the time sequence, but 5 wise, 5 foolish was what Jesus wanted us to know. We need to be ready. Verse 6 in that same chapter, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." The cry was made. "He cometh as a thief in the night." We've heard that for years, haven't we? We've seen it in the scriptures. "He cometh as a thief in the night. Be also ready." The time frame. So when Jesus comes, we come to him. That's going to be a really concise matter. But let's take a look at this. You know, the Lord gives us a lot, doesn't he? Gives us proofs of these things. Now, we're going to take a look. Now, this is where I want you to turn with me. We're going to take a look over into Matthew 13. Matthew 13. I remember Brother Bell, old Brother Bell, was preaching on this, the tares, the parable of the tares. We're going to read verses 24 through 30, first of all. And I'm trying to get concise with these because we have a few scriptures to go through here. I want you to see them in their sequence. I even have, if you wish to have a list of the scriptures, I have some on some handouts if you care to have them. So anybody asks you about it, you know, this is where you get it. This is what you know. It's in the scriptures. And it talks about another parable put he forth unto them, Jesus. "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field." To sow seed in the field means what? Plant, right? Okay. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So the servants of the household, the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also." And they're basically likening a little bit here. The righteous, he planted righteousness, and there is evil among the people. Evil people among the people. "The servants of the householder came to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares?" And from what I understand, tares look a lot like the wheat, and it's hard to tell them apart. Even though, as our brother mentioned this morning, look at what they do. Now you'll know them by their fruits, like Jesus said also. But regardless, "Whence hath it tares?" He said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then we go and gather them up?" And he said, "Nay, lest they gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, bind them in bundles, burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." What did he just tell us there? Let them both grow until the harvest. I'm not going to go and I'm not going to take. We're going to have good and bad people that we pass by every day, you know, and some seemingly do good works, but they may be evil people, and hard to tell people apart. Long enough, you can maybe know about people here and there, right? By their fruits, you may know them. Let them grow until the harvest. But he says, gather the tares first. Do you hear what he's saying? Gather the tares first. Okay, and then gather the wheat into my barn. Alrighty. So let's go on up to 36. Because we've got a few other places to go. Now, you can read all this yourself, please. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house, and his disciples came unto him. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Well, here they didn't know either, did they? They wanted to know, to be instructed a little more perfectly, and they wanted the Lord to explain it to them. And he answered unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is what? End of the world. Absolutely. And the reapers are the angels. Therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to let them hear. And so, and 49 through 51, go on down to there. So shall it be at the end of this world, the angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into a furnace of fire, shall be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. And so, that is that scripture there. That is the tares. And so, if somebody tells me they're going to go first, I ask them, do you really want to go first? Do you really want to go first? But they're saying they're going to go before tribulation. But the few scriptures we've read already tell us a time frame, don't they? Okay, let's go on. We have others to cover. Matthew 24. Please turn ahead to Matthew 24. I could have easily probably taken the time, put these up on the viewer for you, but you know what is wonderful is for you to get your scriptures, you take a look and you see it for yourself and get used to turning to it there. Because it is a very important thing, and people talk about the end times all the time. You'd like to be able to share them, your beliefs. Matthew 24, 26 through 31. If they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is into the secret chambers, believe it not. In other words, Christ is over here or over there, and there's this secretness to Jesus Christ. And that we've even heard of false Christs and false teachers, haven't we, many times. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What does that tell you? Number one, it is not a unannounced event. It is something that is very, very prevailing, very cataclysmic, very announced. So wheresoever the carcass is, where the eagles be gathered, everyone will know. And now, here's another very key verse. Please pay attention to this one. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds with heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. But who went first? He explained that to us in Matthew 13, didn't he? But he sends forth his angels to gather. Okay. But when is Jesus coming? He's not coming twice. He has not gathered his people before the tribulation time. This will be done when he comes. He's sending forth his angels in verse 31. 38 through 42. Actually, we're going to go to 37 in the same chapter. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Here we have an allegory. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until day that Noah entered into the ark. Are they doing that today? Are they eating and drinking and giving in marriage? In other words, there's no harm in this. Dig a pit for your neighbor. Eat, drink, marry, for tomorrow we die. Okay. People don't care. People think they're going to live forever. But they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And people would like to use the reference today for this modern theory, what I'm going to read now. Then shall two be in the field, one be taken, the other left. Two women be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. An unannounced event, or a be ready as a thief in the night. And so when they were on the boat, who went on the boat? Who went on the boat? Noah and his family. They were counted for righteousness, weren't they? What do we have today? We have the Ark of Christ. Okay, when the flood came, which was catastrophic, who were taken away? All those that didn't follow, all those that were evil, all those that didn't hear, all those that didn't prepare, all those that, right? And they were taken away, and before the boat went up, the water came. It's like a game of ball and jacks. You ever remember when we were kids, a game of ball and jacks? You drop the ball, you grab the jacks. Okay, when Jesus comes, we find those that are not on the ark of Christ, the water was sweeping the wicked away at that time. What do we find? We just read in Matthew 13, didn't we? The tares will be gathered. But watch, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The whole flavor of this chapter, watch, for you know not in what hour your Lord doth come. Okay? So when they say, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left, the first to go will be the tares. And then he's going to gather his elect. We look at the circumstances. We look at the event. We look at the time frame. Each of these have a parable about being ready, but they also, we have to look at the event, look at the time, look at what's happening. Who is it talking to? It's pretty plain. Okay, we have other places to go. We got to keep going here. 1 Corinthians 15. I will try to move through them fast, but I also have them once again. If you wish to have these references, I even have once again on handout, if you care to have them. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. And now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I show unto you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Remember that one. The last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. This corruption must be put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. At the last trump, remember that one now, okay? But we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. The dead shall be raised incorrupt, and it's just like, as we're going to be reading, we'll be reading also in Jude. We'll be reading in Jude coming up about that time frame of the dead being raised incorruptible and who shall be coming with Christ. Alrighty? Remember, those that have slept in or been with Jesus will he bring with him. So this is another wonderful reference talking about that time, isn't it? I just wanted to, why I'm bringing these up, because the plainness, but if we put these together, don't we have solid foundation? You betcha. You betcha. Okay, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Through 18. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. Those that have went on unto Christ, those that went on to their God. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which all sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Okay, their souls, they will come back with him. And we're going to be reading in Jude once again. I'm kind of looking forward. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent which are asleep. Once we have endured up to that time, we have come through a tribulation. Those are alive and remain. Those that also, as a key word, the tares have gathered first. Okay? The tares have gathered first. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But we will be here right up until Jesus comes. We are looking for our Lord to come to take us to those mansions above, right? But as we would look in Revelations, we're going to live and reign with him for 1,000 years. We will be with the Lord. We will be with Jesus Christ and teaching. And I've always believed that in a nutshell, for the millennial reign, from my belief has been for the perfecting of knowledge. For the perfecting of knowledge in Jesus Christ. So the Lord himself shall be teaching. And 2 Thessalonians, while we are right here, 1:7-10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. And he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He's going to be admired, glorified in his saints, but he's going to be taking vengeance on others. Once again, we see the tares. They're gathered first as well. And he's going to gather his saints. That's what we're looking forward to. That is our joy. And as far as a tribulation, he says he's going to preserve us. Let's take a look at some other scriptures. Revelations 1:7-8. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and what? Every eye shall see him, and they which also pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Two verses. But how much does it declare? Now, I'm going, and you'll probably see in my epilogue, but it says that it's a catching, a special quiet event of disappearing. And if you've ever read the book or seen the movie, the Left Behind series, people are driving a bus, people are driving a car, people are doing this and doing that. All of a sudden, they're gone, And the other person's sitting there, that person's gone now, quiet, catching away. That is the premise behind the theory. That's not what the scriptures are telling me. I'm looking at every eye shall see, every knee shall bow. That is prevailing through the scriptures. He comes as king. He comes to gather his saints. We've heard of an archangel that is blowing a trump, the shout of the archangel at the last trump. A time frame after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall refuse to give her light. While we're in this vicinity of the scriptures, I tried to keep us kind of going, flowing through scriptures. Jude 1, 14 through 25. How many chapters in the book of Jude? Catch them every time. Okay, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, convince all that that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Murderers, complainers. Okay, we're going to skip forward. I'll go verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These they who separate themselves sensual, heaven, not the Spirit. But be beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some, having compassion, make a difference, others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And now unto him that is keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. But he mentions of the apostles of our Lord teaching us how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own lusts. And also many days say, where is the promise of his coming? And that it is a fable. It is all of those things or these other theories. John 17 is a good one. John 17. I wanted to move forward because we have a couple more places to go, and went in a few in the Book of Mormon is very well. John 17 and 14 through 17. And this is really important because he says in 14, I have given them thy word, words of Jesus, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, talking of his disciples. I pray not that thou shouldst what? Take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Those that are of the Spirit and the power of the kingdom of heaven. Sanctify them through thy truth, as thy word is truth. What's neat here? He could have pulled them out of the world then. They were looking for him to come. They, I think, thought that he would come back in their lifetime. I pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. What is he doing? Why would he not do that today? The scripture doesn't declare it, but the same promise is to us, but you should keep them from the evil. We're looking not to take a mark. We're taking not to be involved or to walk away from Christ and do the things that the world is doing and so on. Matthew 28, a promise of Jesus Christ. the promise of Jesus Christ to us. Matthew 28, a proclamation to us. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. He will be there with us to guide, to protect, to sustain. It's not that we may not suffer damage through this tribulation that is coming. It is talked of those that may give their life for the word, not taking a mark or whatever the matter. But we need to be prepared and sustained, but He will be there with us. He will, I am with you to the end of the world. Whether we go out to meet Him collectively when He comes, as a congregation, as a group, as believers, or we don't make it to that time and we go out to meet Him individually, we should still be equally ready, right? No matter what. Does never negate the responsibility to be therefore ready, because He comes as a thief in the night. But what He does, we've read that it's going to be a loud and a noisy event. Every eye shall see, every knee shall bow. We shall not just simply disappear. James 5. My Bible scriptures will come to an end here shortly. And then I have, like I said, some closing thoughts upon it. This is more of our study today, but yet to be encouraged by it so that we may know, that we may have that good foundation. And we do. 5, 10, and 11. He tells us to take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. Happy which endure. We're called to endure. Endure to the end. And we're going to see some other scriptures. And he does not say endure until you disappear. Don't endure until the time becomes hard. Endure to the end. And it's when He comes to gather. And we've plainly looked through and saw His scriptures. Now we're going to go over to your Book of Mormon. We have about four references of your Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi 12. Now, we're going to also see a time frame. We're going to see an event. We're going to see that separation as it talked about in Matthew 13. Now, in verse 88 through 100, and he shall with righteousness shall the Lord judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's page 159. Page 159. Okay. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh that the Lord God shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will he destroy. He will spare his people, even so it must be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. A great division among the people. He's talking about a separation among the people. A destruction from and to spare his people. It speaks of the terrors in my mind, but that's my opinion. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You said, Adam, where's the time frame? Take a look here. And then shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. What time do you think that is? Exactly. So we had just before that separation, that destruction, and then it goes right on into the millennial reign, doesn't he? And so, wherefore the things of all nations shall be made known, yea, all things shall be made known unto the children of men. There is nothing which is secret, save it shall be revealed. There is no work of darkness shall be made manifest in the light. There is nothing which is sealed upon the earth, save it shall be loosed. Wherefore, all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. And Satan shall have no power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time. What does that tell us? He's going to be chained, doesn't it? He's not going to have a thousand years. Exactly. And my beloved brethren, I must make an end of my sayings. So that I wanted to read down that far because it's also an identifier that Satan is chained for that thousand years. No, for no more, for a long time. And in the scriptures, it talks about that thousand years. So now that we're in 2 Nephi, please go over to the 7th chapter, back to the 7th chapter, 10th verse. It's about page 113. Second Nephi 7 and 10. I'm thinking we're going to, that reference is my mistake. This does not pertain here. I think I have just a moment here. Let me try something else. I have these generally on a study, and I think I may have fat-fingered a number here. Give me a second here. Otherwise, we'll go on to the next. It's okay, because I have them tucked away right now. It's all right, because we have a couple more. Let's go on. Yes. Let's go to 3 Nephi 13 and 20. That's on page 676. And this kind of gives us when he was three that should stay behind, and the blessing that he would put upon them. Actually, I want to read verses 19 and 20. Let's go back to 18. Therefore, more blessed are ye, for ye shall never taste of death, but ye shall live to behold all the doings of the Father unto the children of men, even till all things shall be fulfilled, according to the will of the Father, when I shall come in my glory with the powers of heaven. Ye shall never endure the pains of death, but when I shall come in my glory, ye shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. There's that same reference as we read out of 1 Corinthians 15, didn't we? And also Thessalonians. And when shall ye be blessed in the kingdom of my Father? And again ye shall have pain while ye dwell in the flesh, neither sorrow, save it be for the sins of the world. As that was the pronouncement upon them as far as their physical pain and so on. But you and I still, of course, suffer pain. But the Lord said, I will be with you. I will bless you. I'll take care of you. I believe he's going to care for us. I believe he's going to take care of us through that time. And we're going to go on to 3 Nephi 12. Back to 12. Verse 18 and then 29. I just have a couple. This one and this one here. This is the words of Jesus once again. 12 and 18. Have they not read the scripture which say, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon him my name, and what? Endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Why would he say endure to the end unless he want you enduring to the end? And when is that time? That time and when he is coming, when he shall come back to his people. And now once again, let's go ahead to verse 29. This is our last reference, I believe. And it shall come to pass, whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endure to the end, behold, him will I go, hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And so, enduring to the end is the key. And that's where we need to be strengthened in the power of his might. And there are many other scriptures we could take a look at, but I'm trying to be fairly concise. Even though I got the one there, I think it was my fat finger there, 2 Nephi 7:10, I believe. So here basically in are some points to remember. Points to remember of our study. It is declared that all will stay upon earth, evil as well as the righteous, until the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds. Did we see that? We're all, evil as well as the just, will stay upon the earth until the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds. We saw that in the scriptures, didn't we? It didn't say anything else than that. We're all going to be here right up until the time he comes. And then we see a separation. The theory tells of a quiet disappearing, yet the word tells us it will be a noisy event. Shout of the archangel, every eye shall see, every knee shall bow. The last trump. It could be no mistake when he comes. He won't be in secret. Very pronounced. The tares will be gathered first by the angels to be held for the second resurrection after the 1,000 years. We can read of that in Revelations 20, can't we? The second resurrection. Blessed and holy that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second hath no power. Okay? The tares are going to be held for the second resurrection to stand before, you know, the Lord to be consigned. You don't want to be the second resurrection. The ark of Christ is the only way. The others are taken away. As we read Matthew 24, didn't we? The Lord tells us to endure to the end, and we'll be strengthened by his Spirit. And so these are very pointed, clear scriptures, and I hope that you all got something out of that and something for us to rely upon. So we ask you about it and say, well, what about this, 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 and this? You have things to show why you believe what you believe. And so I thank you for your love and your prayers. Oh, I guess one more epilogue. Jesus could have taken his children out of the world then, but said, save them from the evil to come, as he does for us today. I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. The danger in this theory, that's what I promised you, and my humanism, the danger in this theory is that people are not warned to prepare for any type of a tribulation, because as the belief goes, they won't be there, but raptured or taken out before that time. It's like a snare. They're not warned to prepare for that time. It causes a laxness. You won't be looking forward to it. What about a mark? We're not going to worry about that mark, about it coming, or how to avoid it, or anything like that. We won't be there. Eating and drinking until the time that they went into the ark. History and scripture declares that the ministry of Christ didn't teach a special catching away. We rise to meet him in the air. That is very plain. But the time frame is just as it says, when he comes. So, okay, there we are. Start with the end. So, once again, I hope that it was informative to you and so on. That I tried not to make it. Yes, I may have added my comments, but did try not to make it my words. But just what does the scriptures say? So that's why we teach it and believe it, you know, in the Church of Christ.